Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for your word. Your word that invites us to be your people, your hospitable people in the world that we live. And may we hear it and know it to be the truth for us and for all your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A gentleman by the name of Bill Vaughan once wrote the following: one of life's major mistakes is being the last member in the family to come down with the flu after all the sympathy has run out. Been there, done that. And it's not fun. How true that seems to us, that your laughter says it's true. But everywhere we look today, it feels like the sympathy has run out. People are tired. People are angry. People are confused. There was a time when even Jesus felt perhaps that the sympathy had run out. When he cried from the cross, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" Do we not also believe that there are times when God doesn't seem to be anywhere near? Are there not times we feel abandoned by God, our Creator? You know, one year in my first church in Corfu, New York, we hosted for, I think it was about a week or a little less than a week, a Presbyterian pastor from New Zealand. He was a member of the Maori tribe. His name was Tapau Tioki. My wife was amazed that I could still remember his name, but I always liked that name. And he always liked to quote the passage from our Hebrews passage today, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Almost in that same tone of voice. And I must admit that whenever I heard that from him, and I've heard it since then, I've always had a problem with it. Because it implies that Jesus, and by connection God, stays the same. On the one hand, I understand this and I agree with it. But you know, there are times when I want God to be more active in God's relationship with God's people. In Genesis, we read about God's relationship with God's creation and with Noah. You remember the story, and there was one person in that story who is changed. And do you remember who it is? It's God. Never again will I destroy my creation as I did this time. God vowed never to destroy creation. And that's the God I believe in. A God that is moved by the events of one's life, the events of God's creation. You know, there are many today who want a God who is omnipotent, omniscient, and inflexible and impassive. A God who has put his foot down and said, "This is the way it is." But humanity, if you think about it, humanity cannot exist with that kind of a God, which is the God of laws. The God of immovable, inflexible laws. You break the law, this happens. And as humans, we can't help but break the laws. And if humanity is to have any kind of chance in co-creating the kingdom of God with God, then God has to be a relational God. And a relational God is one who sits down at the table with us and says, "Let's talk. A God who is affected by us as we are affected by God. Think for a moment of the writer of the Psalms. They are not praying or speaking to an immovable, omniscient, omnipotent God. They are talking to and about a God who's sitting at the table with them. They talk about their fears. They talk about their sufferings. They talk about their joys. Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, are you going to forget me? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Psalm 12, oh, help, O Lord, for there's no longer anyone who is godly. The faithful have disappeared from humankind. And of course, our familiar 23rd Psalm, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, because God, you're there with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. These are accounts of people who know God, who have related with God. Otherwise, they could not have talked this way. In Luke today, our passage from Luke today, Jesus calls us to consider sitting down with those who are unlike us. He talks about hospitality that sees and is moved by homelessness, poverty, hunger. And he talks about this because this is how he sees God relating with us. God is not just there for the people who can do things for God. The mighty, the famous. God is there for all people and wants us to be moved just as God is moved by everyone. Wants us to be touched by the lives of others just as God is touched by the lives of others. And in this, we hear the echo of the words of God to Moses from the bush. I have heard the cry of my people in Egypt. I have heard the cry of my people in Egypt. And I'm going to send you. And together, we're going to bring them out. You know, in a few moments, I look over, she's gone. We will be celebrating the baptism of Addison. We are welcoming her into the family of God, where all of us have equal standing. None of us is bigger than Addison, and Addison is not bigger than us. We're all the same. And it is my hope that she grows in faith. She will know of a God who sits at the table with her. That her God is someone she can talk with, someone she can cry with, someone she can laugh with. It is my hope that she will know a God as one who is touched by what she's feeling in life, and not a cold, immovable God of laws. You know, Jesus called God Abba. If you translate that into the English, much like our daddy, mommy. For him, God was not some objective, distant figure, but God was a close, personal, subjective person. That's the God I hope Addison will find out about as she grows in stature and faith. And that's the God that I hope each of you already know. Amen.